Welcome to Divine Intervention. This is a podcast looking at the very finest and some of the best value South African wines with me, Joe Fraser, and our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier. Sit back, enjoy, and if you've seen what the bottle is, buy one and taste it with us. Welcome back to Divine Intervention. This is the weekly podcast wine tasting in which we look at the very best the Cape has to offer, but we don't just restrict ourselves to red, whites, rosé, bubblies, ports and sherries. Occasionally we'll dabble into something a little bit stronger, some of the very fine spirits which are coming out of the Cape these days. And this evening we are tasting a brandy. But as usual, before I introduce the booze, it's only polite to introduce our fellow tasters. And down in the Cape we have my pottery and wine, food and wine guru, author, TV chef. You can catch him on Monday mornings on the Espresso program on SAB3. Michael Olivier. Michael, great to chat to you again.
And here I am with my glass in my hand.
And thank you very much indeed for yet another very fine suggestion of what to taste. I'm looking forward to this one, Michael. But before I start slurping away, it's time to introduce our two studio guests in Joburg. Benedict Dube, broadcaster and journalist. Great to see you again.
Always a pleasure, John.
And I know you're not a brandy taster by inclination, but thank you very much for making the supreme sacrifice in the interests of entertainment and education.
Absolutely.
And also with me, somebody who, from his ethnic origins, you might expect to be nursing a glass of scotch, but this evening he is looking quite happy with his little schlurp of brandy, Chris Gilmore from Absa Investments. Chris, great to chat to you again.
Thank you, John. Much prefer brandy to whiskey.
He's holding it very delicately, I see.
Well, don't worry, Chris. If that runs out, there's more in the bottle where that came from. So, having introduced our tasters this evening and our expert, Michael Olivier, it remains for me to introduce the 15-year-old Alambic brandy from KWV. Obviously, KWV, one of our largest companies in the food and drink business, and also I hope you're going to tell us, Michael, one of the more impressive ones.
Absolutely. Now, this is a real childhood memory for me, holding a bottle of KWV brandy in my hand. This is a 15-year-old brandy. You can imagine how much they lose to the angels in 15 years in a small oak barrel in a cellar somewhere. The wine for brandy is very specially produced. There's no sulfur in it at all because you don't want the sulfur with the copper stools. And the excellent quality wine is used to produce excellent quality brandy. So here you have a brandy that's the most wonderful sort of bright gold color in the glass. I was taught by a brandy maker never to swirl the glass, but just to get your nose over the edge and then just go deeper and deeper into the glass. And those lovely aromas start revealing themselves. And I find it interesting here because there's a freshness in the smell. There's sort of peach and raspberry, and then you get deeper down, and then you've got that lovely sort of soft sun-dried apricot and peach going on there as well. And then you've got that lovely sort of citrus and sweet tobacco, and then that mouth full of wonderful fruit, and then some sort of undertow notes of citrus and honey. This is a brandy that you want to pour into a glass, drink it neat, or just put a little dash of good water into it, and it just enhances the flavor so amazing. It's a really great drop, this.
Well, I'm glad you've told us it's got a bit of sweet tobacco in, because then you can save on the cigar. You just need to drink the brandy. I'm thoroughly enjoying this, Michael. It ticks every box for me. It's a glorious spirit. It's one that I can picture myself lounging back in a nice chair after a very, very enjoyable evening and just sipping away and then having refill after refill until I'm comatose. That's obviously a vision. And it's obviously, as you know, not what I normally do in the evenings. I just watch TV and I'm in bed by 8. But what do I know about this? Benedict, as I said in the introduction, you're not a natural brandy drinker, but are you enjoying
just
this a little?
I'm not a traditional brandy drinker at all, but I'm finding I my traditional thoughts of brandy is that it's too violent for any human being to tolerate. But I find it's quite fruity, tasteful, and quite enjoyable, which is quite odd for me.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. Chris, you mentioned earlier your inclination is towards the grape rather than the grain in terms of spirits. How are you enjoying this?
I'm loving this. This is great. You know, John, this reminds me of some nice French cognacs that I've had in the past. It's got a... I'm finding it difficult to explain the way it actually tastes, because it's very deep and intense. And I notice on the label it says, what, alembic. My question to Michael, what does that actually mean, alembic?
It's a kind of still in which it's in which the brandy is distilled.
Ah, okay. And from what I can gather, the process that is observed in South Africa, although the grapes are different, is remarkably similar to the process that is actually used in the cognac region in France.
Absolutely, yeah. And the grapes essentially are grapes like Colombard, Chenin Blanc, Uni Blanc as well.
Michael, I have to say that we often say on these tastings that South Africa is up there amongst the greats, and certainly in terms of our brandies, we have nothing to be ashamed of here. This is something that I'm sure you could serve in London, in Rome, in Paris, in Washington, in Tokyo, in Beijing, and it would achieve the same levels of enjoyment and appreciation as some of the finest cognacs, armagnacs, spirits from Europe.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, we're very lucky because our blended brandies, the sort of the Klipdrifts and the Wellingtons and those kind of brandies, are also just world-class stuff.
Benedicta, we are delighted to have you here as a black person, and you are not a token black person. You're here because you're a good friend.
Absolutely.
But I would appreciate some insight from you, because you obviously move in different social circles to some of the rest of us. What is this about the strong marketing pitch towards black diamonds by the premium whiskey and brandy producers?
It appeals, John, because from a class point of view, you know, if you can taste wine, if you can drink brandy, if you know fine whiskey, then you up it. If you don't understand those things, if you drink Klapdrift, then you are at another level. So it's an appealing market from that point of view. But also because there's saturation of the white market. So there has to be growth somewhere. And where does the growth prospect come from? It comes from the black market that is emerging, that is growing. And that's where the future business is in terms of, you know,
and of course,
the
phrase black diamonds is a bit of a cliche, but there are a lot of black people with enough money to buy and enjoy this sort of product.
But there are, more than being enough, there is a growing future market. And if you ignore that, you do that at your own peril as a marketer. Because you're going to reach a level of saturation at some point of what you consider the white drinking market. When Auntie Susan dies, she's gone.
Mm.
But Lesotho is growing. So how do you serve Lesotho?
Chris, and in fact, if you look at the latest research from the Unilever UCT Institute, it's called 4 Million and Rising. And exactly what you're talking about, Benedicta, is the emerging black middle class. It is about 4 million people, the way they calculate it. And there are some people who dispute the method of calculation. Yeah. The entire white adult population, 2.9 million. So, you know, you're talking about exactly that, and I couldn't endorse it more, but you've got a huge population that is increasing in terms of its wealth, its aspirations are undoubtedly there, and what always intrigues me is when Professor John Simpson and the UCT Unilever Institute say, well, how do we market to these black diamonds? Well, and I reply by saying, well, in precisely the same way as you...
Absolutely.
As anybody else would
say. I couldn't have agreed more with you, Chris, because what I find irritating and annoying is the almost aspirational and almost condescending way of talking to the black audience.
Precisely.
And I think everybody shares that sentiment. If marketers could just understand that I am just as good as you are, and I can understand you in simple English, you don't have to do a yoba with me. I'll still be fine.
Michael Olivier, that's a brilliant point, because just as I know no race or colour when I'm boozing around the world, I'll drink white as happily as I'll drink red. Presumably marketers should be aware of their target audience, but not be too hung up about trying to be blacker than black in their black on black adverts.
Condescending to a point.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know the colour of the money is the same.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm almost speechless. Just a final point, Michael. We are drinking this brandy neat in the Joburg studio. I don't know if you've stuck a bit of quality water from one of your springs in the back garden into your glass. But we are drinking it on its own. There's obviously the cliche of the brandy and the cigar. But does brandy have to be reserved for an after-dinner tipple?
No, I don't think so. I think if you put the bottle in the fridge, which is a good idea, you really don't need much more than ice. And I'm a great believer in the dash of mineral water, because it just does something to bring out the flavor and to enhance the aromas. But I don't think it's necessarily something that you have to drink after dinner. I mean, there are people who will match food tastings with brandy, which work quite well, actually.
Benedict,
Michael, if you're talking, flavor, and as I'm tasting this, and John has said that I'm not a brandy fan.
Yeah.
But as I'm tasting this, the flavors move more to a cognac-y taste.
Yeah.
Than it does to a brandy taste, you know,
yes.
In your traditional sense.
Yeah.
Would you drink this warm?
Would I drink it?
Warm.
Warm.
Yeah.
Would
you heat it up and drink it warm?
No.
Okay.
No, I think if you know, certainly there is time to make a hot toddy with some lemon and some ginger when you've got a bit of a cold.
Yeah.
But I think you want to use a blended brandy for that.
Okay.
And of course, Michael, there are, as I think Benedicta was suggesting, there are occasions when a cognac is heated up, put under a flame, just to bring it to a warmer temperature for drinking.
Yes, the brandy makers here certainly don't encourage that. They don't even encourage you putting your hand round a snifter to warm the brandy. But I've known people who drink brandy and warm water as a sort of a bedtime drink.
What an excellent idea! Final thought from Chris Gilmore.
When I was an honest journalist at the FM a few years ago,
such thing.
Yes, well, right.
Honest journalist, never heard of one of those of you.
I wrote a survey on brandy, and I spoke to the French people who make the cognac, and they said to me, quite categorically, that there's too much snobbery around brandy. They said you can drink cognac with anything you want, within reason. And they said you can have it with orange juice, you can have it with Coke, and he said basically whatever turns you on. And I have to confess, I have tried brandy and Coke here on many occasions, love it, and I've tried cognac and Coke on the plane on occasions. And I think it's wonderful. And I know it goes totally against the grain, Michael, and you're probably going to shoot me down in flames for this, but I think it can be, it's an incredibly versatile drink that can be drunk in virtually any circumstances you care to suggest.
Absolutely. No, I'm a great believer in drinking it the way you enjoy it. You know, if you like pouring it into a cup of coffee, that's great.
I've done that with Spanish brandy very often, and
I must
it's a
say,
great
I would,
great
I wouldn't
way
mix
of
this with anything.
No, this one I wouldn't. This is lovely meat. This is superb.
This is superb on its own.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, once again, we're out of time, but don't worry, we'll be back with yet another brandy, this time next week on Divine Intervention. It just remains for me, John Fraser, to thank our fellow tasters this evening. Down in the Cape, we have my partner in wine, Michael Olivier. Michael, great to chat to you again.
Such a pleasure, John.
And many thanks for all your wisdom and guidance this evening. Many thanks, too, to our black diamond of the evening, Benedicta Dubé. It's great to see you.
I refuse to be a black diamond, John. I'm a diamond.
Well, beauty does not need colour. And last but not least, moving from brute beauty, let's move to Chris Gilmore. Chris, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much, John.
This has been Divine Intervention. Join us again next week.